Thank you, Lord. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6? This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these are what? They're one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Praise God. Again, there are three that bear agree. Amen. On earth, and there are three that bear witness in heaven. Those three are one. And the ones that hear representation. And what connects them both is the Spirit. The Spirit connects the heavenly with the physical in this realm. So when in John chapter 1, verse 10, Jesus, or he, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not what? Did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. Well, if you believe in his name, do you believe in his blood? If you believe in his name, do you believe in his word? Amen. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. So what became physical? His name, his word, his blood, his Spirit. All became physical in this realm. And we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what did he bring with him? Grace, which is the plan of escape, and truth. He brought everything with him. Jesus in the world. Now, the only way that he could leave things to me and you was by dying on the cross and making the exchange. But there's something he had to do first. He had to make atonement for all humanity. Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Now, one of the things that so many times we forget is that we are to activate everything every single day. This is a new day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not come. We deal with now. And we activate the weapons of God by speaking them. See, your routine is to activate everything. Without the routine, you don't activate things. Somebody get it? The Bible tells us to repent. Well, what's repent to activate? The blood, the atonement. Or to what? Decree the word. What's that activate? The word creates the sword of the Spirit if you're backed by the anointing. So it's our responsibility to activate every single day. Our responsibility, not God's. He gave us everything. He said, now activate it. Activate it. Activate it. Activate it. That's what we're to do. Every single day. Activate it. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. the blood of forgiveness and forgetfulness. Doesn't the Bible tell us that Jesus threw our sins into the river of forgetfulness? Through the what? Through the blood. It's how many times we're still repenting for things that God don't even remember. But we do. Hebrews 9:11. Let's speak it. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Now with the blood of, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Wow. He is the high priest. He is the mediator. He's the one that made way for me and you. He's the one that atoned. In the Old Testament, they used to have to sacrifice goats and so forth for atonement. Jesus fulfilled all the atonement and the sacrifice that he paid. Why? Because it's the blood of forgiveness. It's the blood of forgetfulness. So in this, the only one that remembers your past is the devil. Demonic possessed individuals. You ever get in arguments with people? Well, you did this and you did that. Well, who told you that? I thought it was under the blood. See, they can't forgive, nor they can't forget. So where do you get it? The blood of forgiveness. The blood of forgetfulness. And the enemy brings it up to you all the time. Amen? The enemy's always bringing, he's always trying to bring you into a place of regret, isn't he? But I can't tell you how many times I've repented for something over and over and over again. Because I didn't feel I was forgiven yet. God said, stop on the feeling stuff. I forgave you. I don't even remember it. Why are you telling me why are you repenting for something I don't remember? See, your carnal mind stores all the garbage. And the enemy knows it. Can the enemy read your mind? Yes. He knows what you think. So he takes everything that you keep thinking. That's why we're to cast down thoughts and imaginations. Hello? We're to get rid of them. We're to plead the blood. Amen? We're to activate the blood in those areas of our life, of all those things that we've done that were wrong, that were regretful. Why? Because it's the blood of forgiveness and the blood of forgetfulness. But we lose sight of that. We forget. Why? Because we're not activating it enough. We must activate it more. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood. And what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace and his plan. So the only one that's not forgiven you is the devil. Amen? Or those who are influenced by demonic forces. And the Bible says if you can't forgive others, he can't forgive you. So that's a trap of the enemy, isn't it? Another ploy of deception. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace or his plan, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Oh, glory. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If we weren't forgiven, we couldn't be redeemed. Amen. Leviticus 17:10. And whatever man of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. Well, who eats blood? Satan's kingdom. They eat blood. They drink blood. Amen. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. Wow. It is the blood of Christ that makes atonement for the soul. It is the power of the blood. And in the power of that blood, there is the power of forgiveness and forgetfulness. We're to forgive and forget. Amen. Stop holding on to things. Only the accuser holds on. Only the accuser. Always accusing us before the throne room of God. Because he doesn't acknowledge the blood of forgiveness. He doesn't acknowledge the blood of forgetfulness. He don't forget. Hallelujah. Life of the flesh is in the blood. Ephesians 2. That's why we take blood tests. Amen? When you go to a doctor, he wants to know what's in your blood. He wants to know what contaminants are in your blood. Glory to God. But the blood of Christ is greater. Cleanses my blood. It atones my blood. Ephesians 2:11, please. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the what? By the blood of Christ. Wow. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Praise be to God. We are brought near to God. We are bought by his blood. His blood was the price for me and you. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? Think about that. Consider the blood a common thing. Not the power of what it did. The power of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness and forgetfulness. And insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now, God's talking about his own people that have blown it. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were treated. For you had compassion on me and in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So if you don't forgive someone, can God forgive you? No. Now, is that willful sin? Yes. It sure is. It's willful sin if you're still holding a grudge and unforgiveness towards someone. That's why we must be careful. Even an offense, forgive. Forgive, forget, move on. Only brings harm to yourself. Ezekiel 3:16. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you surely shall die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require on your hand. So we're to warn people, aren't we? That doesn't mean we go around and judge everybody. But we warn them. Man, what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong. Unforgiveness is wrong. It's willful sin. Adultery is wrong. Bribery is wrong. Things to that degree. Cheating in elections are wrong. Verse 19. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So it's our responsibility to warn those who are communicating or connecting with us if you know that they're doing something wrong. Yes. Man, God gave me this a long time ago. It's not about judging. It's real simple. God, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to approach. Do you think this is pleasing God? I know there's some people you can't talk to about it at all. You know, I can't tell you how many people they've called for counsel and they were in fornication thinking it was okay. I'm like, what? And I had one woman call me one time, wanted me to touch and agree that she'd be restored to her husband. I thought, well, that's not a bad prayer. Where's your husband now? Well, he's married. Almost sucked me into that one, you know. I wasn't going to pray for that. How long has it been married? 3 years. You've been waiting 3 years for him to divorce his wife? That's why he left you. Hallelujah. He moved on and she's still holding on. Somebody get it? But, you know, they've already made a new covenant, didn't they? That old covenant's been broke. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness shall, which he has done, shall not be what? Remembered. In other words, everything stored in heaven would be removed. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you have delivered your soul. Wow. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. So God had more to share with him. But then it's amazing. God gave me this when I was first saved. The warnings. Listen, we're all watchmen. We carry the presence. We carry the Holy Spirit. We're temples of the living God. It doesn't mean we go around condemning and accusing. Amen? But we share what's right and what's wrong before God. We're to share what's evil, what's wicked. We're to share that. If we don't share that with them, the blood's on our hands. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, please. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we what? Walking correctly. Amen. Activating the blood. Maintaining our routine. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. The blood of Jesus cleanses. You know that song we sing, Better Word, that is so powerful, exposing the blood, bringing new destiny, rewriting our history, you know? Breaking the chains of bondages. The blood, the power of the blood. That's why we plead the blood all the time. Listen, the devil can't touch you when the blood is activated. That's how Job stayed alive for so long and successful. Until God allowed the devil to remove his sacrifice of blood. When God allowed Satan to take all of his animals and destroy them, Job didn't have anything more to sacrifice. And then Satan got to him. Amen? But God kept him. He held faith all the way through. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Is everybody there? Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay in fear. Fear of what? Fear of the Lord. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained for the foundation before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is in God. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Wouldn't you rather hurt somebody's feelings and rescue them from hell than be afraid of hurting their feelings? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's speak it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image in the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Powerful. I'm going to close at Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and the righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our Redeemer. That's our Mediator. That's our King. That's our hope. That's the one that shed the blood. And when we activate it through repentance, amen, we have forgiveness. And we can forget and move on. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Hallelujah. Help us to be sensitive to your leading. Help us to come in that place where we know that we've been offended or rejected or whatever it may be, but that we forgive, that we can move on. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but it is time to move on into greater things, that we may serve you and honor you and express you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.